Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I believe Congress will recognize that this deal actually has a great deal of benefit in it. And I look forward to going up and working with our colleagues on the Hill.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
It is a real Blue Monday in the world. A dictatorship has emerged in the United States of America right under your nose while you were stuffing yourself with the stuffy turkey, the turkey stuffing, before the turkey was even stuffed. You were stuffed faster than the turkey. What am I talking about? Duh, I don't know. Who won the football game? Who's that guy talking about? And who's that funny English guy with Herr Hitler? What's that? I don't know any history. I hated history. Well, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Your president, your dictator, went around Congress, Democrats and Republicans alike, and sent his stooge, John Kerry, to Iran to work out a deal with the terrorist nation of terrorist nations, the den of vipers in Iran. My headline was succinct when I saw it Saturday night. I was shocked, frankly, by the audacity and the insult to our Constitution that had occurred. And I made it short and sweet. And I said this. My headline on MichaelSavage.com was quite succinct, and it went like this. Obama, Kerry, throw Israel to Islamic wolves. I believe I was correct. I believe I was correct. Today it came out that Mike Rogers... Ever hear of him? No, he's not a baseball player. No, he's not a coach. No, he doesn't work for Steven Spielberg. Mike Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He's supposed to know these things. He's supposed to know what the president and the secretary of state are doing behind his back. He said today that he was not notified of it. He was not told about the talks with Iranians leading up to the nuclear deal that will give Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? And if you want to make it a little lighter, we can do that as well on the show tonight. I know many of you are already traveling. You're in different states and different locations, and yet you've snuck out of the family house and you found the Savage Nation either on an iPhone or on a local station. Are you listening to the Savage Nation on a different radio station than your normal home station? Let us know what it is. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. The Iran deal. Some liberals are saying this is the equivalent of Nixon going to China. That it's a wonderful, wonderful give peace a chance moment. scholars who are pro-Islamist at the London School of Economics, a hotbed of anti-Americanism, said, finally the dog wags the tail. Tough luck for Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, says Fawaz Gurgaz, a scholar at LSU and author of the recent book on the Middle East. And so I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, at Savage Nation, again, how do you feel about giving Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons? Because that's what your president just did without notifying Congress. And by the way, the schism that has occurred even within the Democrat Party is actually unprecedented in the history of this regime. That's right. The Democrat Party has fractured over this. Some very prominent liberal Democrats are saying, what? How could you do this? Who are they? Charles Schumer, a lockstep liberal. Representative Engel, a lockstep liberal. Even Harry Reid was caught dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say today. He went all over the map. And even Harry Reid said, more sanctions, not less sanctions against Iran may be needed. This has fractured the bloc that has always rallied around the fundraiser-in-chief. How do you feel about your fundraiser-in-chief using Air Force One to fly to San Francisco and Los Angeles today to raise money on your pocket. How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? Are you traveling and listening to the Savage Nation on a different radio station? Now, let's look at this in context. Let's look at the big picture. He threw an ally overboard. Who will be next? You have to ask yourself, who will be next? He threw an ally overboard. He stabbed Israel in the back. I predicted this. I will again refer to the Bible of the Savage Nation, Trickle-Down Tyranny, where I wrote on the cover of the book, he treats friends like enemies and enemies like friends. He acts like a monster to the American people and to Congress. He acts like a Caesar. He acts like a Caesar to the American people and to Congress, while to the worst enemies that America has seen since World War II, he goes softly into the night and goes limply into the night and gives them everything they want. It's a very dangerous schizophrenic situation that we find ourselves in. And frankly, you should be as agitated as I am. The Iran deal. I will give you the seven loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran in the deal that was signed by the world powers. I will tell you why it is worse than Munich, meaning why he has done a deal that is being assailed from all sides. I will tell you that Kerry and Obama should be impeached for what they did, because they did it without the approval of Congress. The only cheerleader for this deal in Congress is Dianne Feinstein. I wonder if there's a shopping cart deal on the side that was thrown in. There may be some shopping carts for Tehran International Airport. That's the only explanation. Yes, the Congress, the committees given to this were left in the dark by your president. Just left them completely in the dark. The question to you is, how do you feel about this? 855-407-2822. We'll talk about anything but football. Sports are not welcome on the Savage Nation. Kerry and Obama stuck a knife into Israel. They threw Israel to the Islamist wolves. He didn't even stab them in the back. He did it right to their face. Obama and Kerry have shown the world definitively that this government has no intention of supporting our longtime allies. Who will be next? Will they now throw Taiwan to China? Will they then throw the disputed regions in India to Pakistan? Yes. This deal means one thing and one thing only. It means an arms race in the Middle East. Do you think for 1 minute that Israel's going to allow Iran to keep working on their development of a nuclear weapon? Do you really think that this is a peaceful program on the part of Iran wanting to develop nuclear energy when they have all the oil they could possibly need for energy? From a regime that has promised to wipe Israel off the map? And let me ask you something else. Where are the Jewish voices? Am Yisrael Chai. What happened to the Jews in America? When did the Jewish people disappear from the face of the earth? Has there been one professional Jew who spoke out over the weekend? Where is Mr. Chaya? Where is the Anti-Defamation League, which has such a big mouth when it comes to Americans who might offend a Jew? Where is Mr. Foxman? Where's Rabbi Chaya, who have such big mouths for Americans and not a peep to be heard with regard to the mullahs of Iran? What has happened to the Jewish community? Where is it? 855-400-7282. Even Lindsey Graham, who I absolutely don't respect, who I think is a despicable senator, has said the nuclear deal leaves Iran on the verge of making weapons. I wonder who talked to him. I wonder who talked to him. The Saudis are now an ally of Israel. Isn't that bizarre? Did you believe you'd wake up one day and in your lifetime Saudi Arabia would be doing a deal with Israel to protect themselves from an Iran nuclear weapon? Would you believe that? How did that happen? Well, there's an old saying in the Middle East that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I guess that the Saudis realize that Israel is now their best friend to defend themselves from an Islamist nuclear bomb. You see, there are things about this deal that you may not be aware of. For example, one of the loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran in the deal signed over the weekend is the issue of the dirty bombs. I don't know if you heard about that. Iran does not need a full-scale nuclear bomb or missile warhead to attack Israel or any other nation. For decades, Tehran has been working on perfecting hundreds of dirty bombs as part of its nuclear program, by adding plutonium or enriched uranium to conventional bombs. These weapons are easy to make, they're easy to use, given to Hezbollah or other Shiite terrorist organizations in Syria or Iraq, for instance. They could be used to strike Israel or Saudi Arabia without leaving so much as a trail to Tehran. This peril was ignored by the six powers in Geneva, and the running back who brought it home was John Kerry. There are many other elements of this disaster that Obama and Kerry have brought about that are worth talking about. This is well beyond the Munich Agreement. Some people are speaking out, and they're writing such things, such as, quote, in a few months when Iran announces they have successfully tested a weapon and are sticking it atop some missiles that can reach anywhere in the Middle East, the Balkans, Eastern Europe, and India, Obama will declare his job mission accomplished. Someone wrote this, I guess no war for the neocons. They must be extremely disappointed and powerless by what happened in Geneva. Hopefully the United States eliminates the neocons forever. Those are the hardcore anti-Semites in the media who believe Israel is the devil and that Israel should be eliminated from the globe. They are, in essence, on the far right. In that view, they are Islamists and leftists, even though they think they're rightists. Another one found out that this, another one wrote this, we found out the hard way what a mistake the Munich Agreement was. Then we made the same foolish mistake again with North Korea, and they now have many nuclear bombs. Finally, Obama repeats the same foolishness the third time. Don't we ever learn? Do you remember the price of the Munich Agreement? Then someone wrote, most Americans still remember the WMD lies and the disaster of the Iraq War. Sorry, Iran will be left alone. It's one of the few stable countries in the Middle East, and no war will destroy that situation. They're on the side of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. So where do you stand on this? I mean, you're one of the people. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? KBET Las Vegas, Richard, you're the first up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dr. Savage. Hey, I'm with you. What are we going to do about it? What's anybody going to do about it? I think Obama could go on YouTube, chop up puppies in a blender, and nobody would say a thing. Nobody says.
Let me tell you this. I agree with you. I have a friend who was married to a woman of Mexican descent, and I called him today to wish him a happy Thanksgiving. And he said to me, his wife supports Obama no matter what he does. I said, what do you mean no matter what he does? He said, as long as he redistributes wealth from white people to people of color, she cheers him 100%. She doesn't care what he does. She thinks he is her hero. I said, so she's a bigot. She's a racist. He said, what can I do about it? He said, that's how she sees things. And you realize that this is how many, many people, not only in America, but in the world, see things?
Doctor, I'm sorry. Look, I'm not like that. I can't empathize with those kind of people. But you're right. That statement, I see the people out there. I see what's going on, and they look at Obama as basically he's like...
Do you know now why Obama has flooded America with third world people who hate America? Do you understand what the entire plan has been from the time it began under Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton started breaking down our borders to flood America with third worlders who hate us, who would like to redistribute our wealth, take our houses, take our land, take our destiny from us. It's coming home to roost. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Israel is threatened by what has been going on in Iran, but I believe that from this day for the next 6 months, Israel is in fact safer than it was yesterday.
Yeah, right. Peace in our time. You know, history is repeating itself. Suddenly it's 1939, 1940. You've got the very similar dynamics, but it's far worse than the Munich Agreement. Far worse. But there are no Jewish voices. The ADL, so bold when it comes to Americans. The Anti-Defamation League, just so bold when it comes to Americans who are offensive, not to be heard. So far as I know, I could be mistaken. Rabbi Marvin Heyer, who I sent out an appeal to when I was banned in Britain, and didn't even answer my email. Very bold man. Oh, yeah. Not a word from him so far as I know. Why? Democrats. Democrats. It's that simple. Obama good, can't do Can't do wrong. Nothing. And by the way, Obama is such a radical psycho that one day after another, he knocks America in the teeth and he crawls on his hands and knees before the mullahs. Just the other day, last week, do you remember what he did? He annihilated a 230-year-old tradition. He eliminated a tradition that had been with the Senate for over 200 years in order to make certain that he could crush anyone who might have an opposing opinion. Then he does a deal behind the backs of the American people, of Congress themselves, and stabs Israel in the back. Now today he flies to the sick San Francisco community that wants amnesty for the illegal aliens, and they cheer him. And I listen to them saying, we all want to be here. No matter how we came here, we should be granted amnesty. One day after the other, the man will not stop with his madness. This is a man who is out of control, by the way. You can say, why don't they impeach him? Who? John Boehner? What did he have to say about Israel? Nothing. Harry, WABC, go ahead on this horrible night. How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal?
It scares me. I'm a Brooklyn Jew. I vote by no party, but what I see from the other Jews that I speak with is they will vote Democratic no matter what. And it disgusts me. The only one who seems to have any clue are the Syrian Jews that I do know. And I just don't understand the culture. It's like crazy.
Would you? Well, the word is not crazy. It's called something else. It's an embarrassment to use the proper word for the American Jewish community. But it's not crazy. It's far worse than that, Harry. It's a very, very dangerous time we're living in with a very dangerous president. One day after the other, one punch to the nose after another.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Since I took office, I've made clear my determination to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Liar.
As I've said many times,
you
my
liar.
Strong preference is to resolve this issue peacefully.
You
and
liar.
We've extended the hand of diplomacy. Today, that diplomacy opened up a new path toward a world that is more secure. A future in which we can verify that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful and that it cannot build a nuclear weapon. While today's announcement is just a first step, it achieves a great deal. For the first time in nearly a decade, we have halted the progress of the Iranian nuclear program.
Total
key parts of the program will be rolled back.
Bottom liar. He may as well be working for the enemy. And I'm not alone in this. If I were alone in this, you could dismiss me as a fool. But I'm not the only one saying it. His own cohorts in the liberal Democrat cabal are saying, are you crazy? Number two, he did this without the knowledge of Congress. We're living in a dictatorship. How could you support a man like this? By the way, this is Friday is a Black Friday. We're going to Thanksgiving. I hear that Kerry has a Black Friday sale coming up. Build one nuke, get two dirty bombs free. And I hear that most places are having a half-off sale while Obama is offering a half-life sale. WABC, Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I want to congratulate you on having your producer.
All right, please, let's get to the point. I know you love me. What's your point?
I have four questions. Can I ask four questions?
No, this is my show. Make your comment, please.
Well, just tell me what would happen when China says, listen here, America, you dumb little twips, you can no longer have a weapons or anything because we think it's sure dangerous to the rest of the world. What are you going to do then?
Now you're equating America with Iran. So that's very intelligent of you.
Don't ask. No, I'm not doing that. I'm asking.
It's what you just did. You equated America with Iran. That's what you just did. How can you make that equivalency?
Question. You know, are you aware that there's over 1,000 Muslims in this world for every one Jew on the planet?
So therefore the Jew should die or jump in the sea? What are you saying?
Why do me, the American taxpayer, and I'm an American Indian,
that makes you sacred. That makes you sacred because you have a chip on your shoulder that makes you right. Is that correct?
No, listen.
Because you walk around with a grievance, that means you're right about everything? Maybe your grievances warp your mentality.
I'm asking questions for enlightenment.
No, you're not asking anything. You're making a fool of yourself. Before you even started, you made a fool of yourself. So far, you try to make America the equivalent of Iran. What are you basically saying? Iran has the right to build a weapon and we have no right to tell them not to?
I didn't say that. I said, what would you do when China says...
Don't ask rhetorical questions. Is that your implication?
No. My question to you is why... Why does America's taxpayers spend $30 billion giving a little place like Israel everything? Why do they have all of our secrets?
Well, why do Indian gambling casinos not pay federal taxes? I don't have an answer for that. Why aren't American Indians paying federal taxes? I can ask you that question since you're representing your people. But I think we should stay focused on the Iran nuclear deal. I think that's what we are trying to discuss.
Iranians not have the right to run their own country. Why do we have to?
Well, I will give you the answer from my perspective. Do you know any other nation that has a nuclear weapon that said, I will wipe a race off the planet other than Iran? Iran has said repeatedly, when we get the weapon, we will use the weapon. Iran has said Israel is an illegitimate nation that doesn't have the right to exist. And so therefore, you don't give a lunatic a loaded gun when he says he's going to go to a school and shoot children, do you? If you have an idiot who says, I'm going to get a gun, and when I do, I'm going to go into a school and shoot children, do you let that person get a gun?
The subject again. Let's stay on the subject matter.
Well, we are on the subject, but your mind is so warped with peyote, you can't follow a rational argument.
Well, listen, I smoke dope when somebody else is buying it.
That's right. You smoke a lot of dope, and you can't follow a logical argument. I just said to you, and I'll repeat it, and then I'm going to get off the air with you because I can see we're going to get nowhere. Iran has said when they get the weapon, they will wipe Israel off the planet. That's been said many times. It went on for year after year after year. How do you permit such a nation which says it's going to commit genocide to get a nuclear weapon?
Can you answer the next question for me?
You see, you would have been a good rabbi. Unfortunately, you're an American Indian, not a Jew. And your type of rhetorical questions are an example of your ignorance because you can't answer a question, so you keep asking them. You asked me a question, and I answered it. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm right or wrong and showing me where, you go on to a next question.
Let's just answer this question. Take
a walk. Go smoke some weed and leave me alone. That's all. 855-400-7282. I answered the question. Stop asking stupid questions. Okay, line 5, Stephanie in St. Louis. Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation on this disaster that Obama and Kerry have just conducted behind the backs of Congress.
Oh, my God, Dr. Savage, can you even believe it? I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm listening online, KSFO AM out of San Francisco, streaming on my internet.
It's a great station. It's a great station. It's my home station. And so how do you feel about this as a public opinion poll that's being done in the Savage Nation tonight? Do you feel good about the president going around Congress to make peace in our time?
No, as a matter of fact, I can't even imagine what our country's going to look like in another 3 years from now. I will even be surprised. I just can't even imagine what we're going to look like 3 years from now. Do you know how much damage can be done in 3 years?
Yes, I do, because when Bush had 6 more months left in his regime, I warned America he wasn't finished yet. I warned him in the June of his last year, and he then created the disaster which led to the implosion of all of our financial markets. Bush did that.
I believe that. And you know what else I'm coming to know about myself, too, is 20 years ago I was a bleeding heart liberal. Now I'm almost a conspiracy theorist.
Well, that's not unusual. When if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. You've heard that, haven't you?
That's right. And recently I changed jobs, and my new coworker asked me about a week after we had the conversation about my political views, and which he shares, by the way. He said, Stephanie, I have to ask you, what was it that made you change your mind? I said, I grew up. I had children. I became a mother. I started working 45 or 50 hours a week. And when you put a little bit of skin in the game, you have to start thinking about things.
That's right. I drove through a poor section of a town near where I live, and I saw people in the streets today who were doing nothing. Doing nothing. I knew they were drug dealers. You could look at them and know they're peddling drugs. And I say to myself, how can this country go on? In my day, the cops could stop vagrants and ask them what they were doing in the neighborhood and either arrest them for vagrancy or tell them to move on and get away from there because they knew they were up to no good. And now the government actually supports the vagrants and tells the cops they're racist for doing their job.
It's just incredible.
Do you ever watch the television series called Homeland on HBO?
I have not.
Oh, well, I'll go into it one day. It's about a former Marine who was captured in Iraq, put into a prison cell by the Islamists, and turned into a double agent. And then he's sent back to America. The character's name is Brody, and he becomes a U.S. congressman because he was a former Marine and everyone loved him. Meanwhile, he's working for the Islamists. He's a double agent. Many people feel that there are many Brodies in the White House. Many people know that there are links that make that suspicion and that conspiracy quite valid. Many people are terrified that all of the generals who have been purged were trying to stop Obama from doing what he just did to Israel. They opposed it. He fired them. Many people feel that the CIA and the FBI has been gutted and deballed by Obama to be turned into compliant appendages of the White House, which is not what they were ever intended to be. Many people fear that we are living in a dictatorship that's going to get far worse before it gets far better. Now, I realize this is heavy-duty stuff, and that many of you want to go into the Thanksgiving holiday a little less tense. But when I saw this Saturday night, I got very agitated. This was no longer about Israel. This was not about the tail wagging the dog. This was about supplying the most terrorist nation on earth with the means to develop a nuclear weapon. Do you understand the difference? Let's put Israel out of the equation. Let's put Israel out of the equation. Many of you are such anti-Semites that you're blinded. And you say anything that hurts Israel is a good thing. I like the Indian caller. That's where he's coming from. He's seeing it from a very limited perspective. But now let's look at it from the perspective of America per se and our national interest. You have a maniac who's screaming, when I get a gun, I'm going to buy a machine gun. And when I get it, I'm going to go to a school and shoot up children. Well, what do you do with that person? Do you give him a machine gun? No, you send in the world police and you arrest that person. Iran is that crazy man saying, when I get the machine gun, I'm going to kill the children in a schoolroom. Do you give him a machine gun? Do you say, let's help him get a machine gun? Or do you make certain he never gets the machine gun? Your president just said that crazy man can have a machine gun. That's my analogy, and I stick by it. How do you feel about this? 855-427-282. WABC Gregory, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you started your program today with the voice of that Chamberlain.
Yes.
It's all over again.
Yes,
I survived the Holocaust at age 12.
How old are you? You must be 90 years old.
I'm 84.
God bless you. So you actually lived in a camp?
And to survive after the Holocaust, I had no choice but to. Unfortunately, I was liberated by the Red Army. So I, at age...
The Russians liberated the camp you were in. Which camp were you in, Gregory?
Between the Ukraine and Romania.
Oh, my God. So, okay. So you came to America, the land of opportunity, and you've seen how wonderful it is. And now what? You fear that Chamberlain is now in the White House?
Absolutely. Worse.
That's right. Because you got to remember that Chamberlain was a patriot. Chamberlain was a patriotic Britisher. His loyalty to Britain was never questioned. They knew who Chamberlain was. They knew where he was born. They knew where his loyalties lied. He had no links to Germany. He did it because he actually thought he was helping England on a path to peace. The people were tired of war. It's just that he was wrong. But with Obama, we can't even make those statements, can we?
Absolutely. And after I survived Hitler, I survived Stalin, because when I joined had to survive after the war, I had no choice but to go to have some bread and clothes. I was in the Navy. And at 20...
You were in the Russian Navy? That's amazing. That's interesting. No, I knew other people who, they told me, first they survived Hitler. Then when Russia took over a part of Poland, they were taken in by the Russians and put into a Russian prison camp, and they had to survive Russia. I don't know how people have those kind of the genes to survive that kind of terror. I really don't.
In 1952, I was arrested by military for some stuff, but I was jammed the Voice of America in the Navy. So at 24, I was...
Wait, you were arrested by the Russians for listening to the Voice of America?
Not only listening, I was in the, based in Riga in 1952.
But you were in the Russian Navy at that time, correct?
And they installed a special German equipment to use it to jam Voice of America and Voice of America.
Well, that's right. Maybe Obama will jam the Savage Nation very soon.
Absolutely. So
why doesn't he? Why he can jam any voice that opposes him because he's God, isn't he?
And
so let me ask you: Are you Jewish, Gregory? Are you of Jewish heritage?
I'm very Jewish, and I want to know where are the Jews, as you're asking. Where are the Jews?
I don't know. Where is Rabbi Chaya? Where's all of the big mouths of the Anti-Defamation League? Have they said anything?
Unfortunately, we have the voices of Schumer or Feinstein and whatever.
But even Schumer came out and said Obama shouldn't have done this. Feinstein saluted it. She actually did a Lindy Hop. She was seen moving 2 feet at once for the first time in 50 years. God bless you, Gregory. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On our side, the United States and our friends and allies have agreed to provide Iran with modest relief while continuing to apply our toughest sanctions. We will refrain from imposing new sanctions, and we will allow the Iranian government access to a portion of the revenue that they have been denied through sanctions.
Now, you have to understand what this means. This is a revolutionary act on the part of Obama and Kerry on many different levels. Number one, they did it without Congress. That means we're living in a dictatorship. Two, they have rewarded bad behavior. Three, they have stabbed an ally in the back. Four, they have given Iran a victory they never could have dreamed of. How do I know? Ayatollah Ali Khamenei claims victory for nuclear program. On Sunday, right after the agreement, reached in Geneva by those who threw Israel under the bus, he boasted the Revolutionary Guard, on the Revolutionary Guard media outlet. He thanked Rouhani for his negotiating team for their achievement in Geneva. He said, quote, "I thank God that the new government was able to legitimize the Iranian nation's nuclear program on the international stage and take the initial step in a way that the nuclear rights and the enrichment rights of the Iranian nation are acknowledged by world powers, where before they are tried to deny them, and the agreement will open the way for future big strides in technical and economic progress," Khamenei said. So they have a big victory. Inside Iran, Obama is being celebrated as their greatest friend. The agreement says that Iran is not pursuing nuclear weapons, but everyone who has studied this says they are. Everybody knows that. And as I said to you earlier, they do not even have to weaponize a missile. With the deal that your friend Obama gave them, they can build dirty bombs. This is not Nixon goes to China. This is not Nixon goes to China. This is not opening up markets. This is sleeping with the enemy. While Obama has presented the deal as a first step toward freezing or even rolling back key aspects of Iran's nuclear program, the fact is that so long as Iran is permitted to enrich uranium, even though this is supposedly restricted to a low 5% grade, Iran is free to produce as much fissile material as it wants, whenever it wants. This is a roll forward rather than a roll back. On the issue of enrichment, I know this is getting too technical, but Kerry and Obama lied when they said the New Deal does not recognize Iran's right to enrich uranium. They were immediately contradicted by the Iranian president and senior negotiator, as well as Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. So what is the truth? Well, I'll let you figure it out. Centrifuges. Iran has undertaken not to add new centrifuges to its enrichment facilities, according to our President Obama. But there is nothing to stop Iran from keeping up their production. In the six-month interim period for negotiating a comprehensive nuclear deal, Iran wins time to turn out enough centrifuges to substantially expand its production of enriched uranium. I can go on with all of the other elements of this deal that show seven loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran in the deal signed behind the backs of Congress by Chamberlain and Obama. It's far worse than Munich in so many different ways. Let me explain why it's far worse than Munich, for those of you who don't know your history and are condemned to repeat it. This is the worst moment in Western foreign policy in your lifetime. It is the worst moment in Western foreign policy in your entire life. I realize we're coming into Thanksgiving. Many people don't want to get into this heavy stuff. They want to deal with football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I'm not into that. I'm obsessed with the demise of America under this character in the White House, with Valerie Jarrett apparently calling the shots, and she's got to be understood from the get-go. Why do I say it's worse than Munich? I'll give you one example of why it's worse than Munich. He's being compared to Chamberlain, but it's worse. Why? Because as of 1938, Hitler had not yet said he was going to exterminate European Jews. He was still attempting to ship European Jews out of Europe. The final solution was not even adopted until 1941. But your friends in Iran has made it clear to wipe Israel off the map. And the fake moderate Hussein Rouhani has refused to acknowledge the Holocaust. Do you understand why it's worse than Munich? Are you liberals that psychotic?
Join
or do you hate America that much?
Call now, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's not based on trust. It's based on verification. It's based on your ability to know what is happening. So you don't have to trust the people you're dealing with. You have to have a mechanism put in place whereby you know exactly what you're getting and you know exactly what they're doing.
Going forward, we will continue to work closely with Congress. However, now is not the time to move forward on new sanctions because doing so would derail this promising first step, alienate us from our allies, and risk unraveling the coalition that enabled our sanctions.
My God, he twists everything. It's frightening. It's just frightening what he just did. On Saturday night after the Iran deal had been made, Secretary of State John Kerry said that the opponents of this deal wanted war as a first resort. That was a total Orwellian lie. Appeasement causes war. Churchill knew that in 1938. Appeasement causes war. Appeasement causes war. But what Obama and Kerry did, they did without Congress's knowledge, let alone their debate or approval. What country do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a dictatorship? Are you happy that you have a dictator? Do you feel better that Obama has taken the reins and there's no more a messy Congress to deal with? Is that the country that you want to live in? Because you're living in it. Now, some Democrats who are, from my opinion, wrong on everything, are suddenly opposed to the Iran nuke deal. Let's begin with Senator Chuck Schumer in clip 20. Listen to this one. 20.
The one existential threat to Israel's existence is a nuclear Iran. And when you use the word existential, it sounds very philosophical. But it's a very simple word. It means existence. The very idea of a nuclear Iran is a threat to the entire state of Israel's existence.
As they were knocking down the chicken and potatoes and kugel at some fundraiser. I believe nothing he says, by the way. He says what he thinks is expedient for a fundraiser. So now let's go to another Democrat who I do believe from time to time. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat, New York, in clip 15. Let's listen to that.
It's disappointing to me that Iran is still going to be allowed to enrich while they're talking. I would have thought that that should be a prerequisite to any kind of talks. We're not asking them to dismantle any of their centrifuges. So that's disappointing.
Okay, he's a Democrat. Clip 16 is again Representative Engel in clip 16. Let's hear the rest of that.
I think we need to be very, very careful with the Iranians. I don't trust them. I don't think we should trust them. But I think that we have to make it work. Now, I'm in favor of sanctions. I agree with Chairman Royce that it's important to ratchet up.
So there's been a fracture of the liberal Democrat, shall I say, cabal. They finally recognize that he's turned on them as well. Even some liberal Democrats realize what he's doing is a disaster for the world and for the Democrat Party itself. Now let's go to the Republican side. Representative Ed Royce in clip number 14.
We needed to continue to ratchet up those sanctions until Iran was willing to agree to give up its right to enrich, to give up its nuclear program. Until they do that, they're still on the road to having the capability for undetectable nuclear weapons breakout.
Okay. Now, look, we did our homework. This is 3 days' worth of work that you're getting in 10 minutes. Representative Mike Rogers, a wonderful Republican, in clip 17, is worth listening to.
We have just rewarded very bad and dangerous behavior. We may have just encouraged more violence in the future than we have stopped.
Now, today, Mike Rogers said there was no notification. He didn't even know they were doing this. The Hill was left in the dark on the deal that was struck over the weekend by John Kerry, who's now fundamentally a rogue Secretary of State. Listen to clip 26.
There was no formal notification, certainly that I received, and my understanding is that neither did the Senate, which is concerning. We have full access to every classified program, every covert action program, as we should in our role for oversight. It was concerning that they didn't believe it was important enough to do this, and that just raises questions about what did they prearrange prior to the P5 plus one. I mean, this is why you don't want to do this. It raises unnecessary suspicions about what was agreed to prior to the P5 plus one.
Okay, you heard that. So, listen, there's a very big problem emerging here, and yet Obama immediately runs and hides in San Francisco around amnesty seekers who love him because he's basically going to open up the Bastille and let the prisoners out. You realize that that's the equivalency of what Obama will do with amnesty? It dawned on me. There's a historic equivalence that if he says we should grant amnesty to all the illegals here, which is what he's doing no matter what he says, that's the equivalent of the French Revolution when they opened up the prisons and let all of the prisoners out. And they ran out and started killing and murdering anyone with any property in France. You don't seem to understand what's going on here. You have a flaming revolutionary in the White House. How stupid can America be? Well, okay, it's one man's opinion. I shouldn't get too excited. Shall I give you my favorite turkey recipe? Because I'm not going to do it. How do you feel about Obama Kerry's secret Iran nuke deal? Jeff on WABC, go ahead, please.
Hello,
Jeff. Yes, go ahead, fire away.
Yes, we had fairly strong sanctions the United States, the free world, holding Iran as far as limiting their nuclear capabilities for the moment. Is that correct?
So what's your point?
Well, I just get a feeling is how bad did our administration want this deal? We should be, and the United States, Israel, the rest of the free world, we should be twisting the arm of the Iranians behind their back saying, you ain't going to have them, there's no way you're going to have them, period. Instead, it's almost as if they sat at the table, the Iranians sat at the table and twisted our arm and said, well, how bad do you want all this other stuff that's on your radar, like Obamacare and all that, to be, you know, how bad do you want this deal? How good
is it? So in other words, you feel that Iran actually twisted Obama's arm to get Obamacare off the headlines, to stab Israel in the back would appease both the left and the right. Is that it? Thanks for the call. Who knows? Who knows? What he did this for is astonishing. Now, you have to understand there's a person in the White House named Valerie Jarrett, and the blogs are alive and lit up like holiday lights with allegations that Valerie Jarrett is fundamentally calling all the shots in the White House. She did Benghazi. She was in charge of this deal. And there are allegations, since she is of Iranian descent, and it's a fact that her father was deeply enmeshed in certain movements, let's put it that way, that there's much more to this than meets the eye. And yet there's been no investigation. We hear about appeasement. We see Chamberlain being played, which I played for over 10 years. Wallbangers now, of course, copying the master. That's okay. It doesn't matter who plays who. All that matters is that we all get across the message of what's going on. But this is far worse than Neville Chamberlain, I'm trying to tell you. It's far worse than the historic appeasement of Adolf Hitler for the reasons I've tried to give you. And I'll give some of them to you again in this hour if you really want to hear it. It may be too much to take in. It may be much too much for you to take in on a night like this. There's only so much that people can take until they become exhausted. Because when Chamberlain appeased Hitler, Hitler had not yet said he was going to conduct the final solution. Hitler had not yet said he was going to wipe the Jews off the planet. Hitler had not said those things. Right now, the Iranian madmen have said that. They've said they will wipe Israel off the map. And yet, we go ahead and appease them? And the Jews salute him? The American Jews jump up and down no matter what Obama does? Do you know that tomorrow night, this is the part that got me over the weekend. I was so perplexed over this. The president is traveling tomorrow night to Los Angeles to raise money on your dime with Air Force One. That unto itself is astonishing. When did it get written that you can use Air Force One for fundraising? I don't even know where that's written, how that's permitted. But okay, put that aside. He's flying to Los Angeles to raise funds at a number of people's homes, which will include a man named Chaim Sabin, a billionaire from Israel, who is a devout Obama, a slavish worshiper. How can an Israeli support Obama? I don't understand this. Is there an Israeli in the audience who can explain to me the American Jewish mentality? You talk about Obama appeasing Iran? How about American Jews appeasing Obama? I ask myself all weekend, and there was no answer coming back. Why would Chaim Sabin, a billionaire who made his money by inventing some cartoon character and patenting it, I think, why would he invite Obama to his house and congratulate him for a thing like this? I don't have answers for these questions. I don't have any answers for these questions. And all I can say, this is a very dark Thanksgiving for me, because not so much for Israel per se, but because we're moving into a dictatorship, not by degree, but almost on a roller coaster ride. Just last week, this dictator eliminated a 200-year-old tradition of a filibuster. He didn't want to hear anyone's opposing opinion. 2 days later, he does this. Then he flies to San Francisco and wants amnesty. How much can the American people take? When does it stop? We have a confluence of Thanksgiving and the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, when the lunar and Gregorian calendars will align for the first time in a very long time. And according to calendar geniuses and Jewish scholars, the two holidays will not sync again for another 75,000 years. This is a once-in-an-eternity overlap of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, when the lunar and Gregorian calendars will align, and the first day of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving occur on the same exact day. What that means is anyone's guess. I mean, you can believe in the Mayan calendar about the end of the world coming in December. I'm not really into the Mayan calendar, nor am I into the lunar calendar, nor am I into the other calendars. I think that they're historically interesting documents. But frankly, I still like December 25th as Christmas, and November 27th is Thanksgiving. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Everybody has a right to be skeptical, because there are indications that there are people in Iran who have wanted to pursue a weapons program, that there have been secret facilities building some of those efforts towards that program.
If Iran does not fully meet its commitments during the 6-month phase, we will turn off the relief and ratchet up the pressure.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
A comprehensive solution.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If Iran doesn't live up to its commitments, you can keep your plan and you can drop dead. So these are very dangerous times. Some are saying that this is going to set off an arms war because the fact of the matter is the Saudis, who are now aligning with Israel, if you can believe this, have been talking to the Pakistanis to get nuclear weapons. Saudis are talking to Pakistanis, government to government, of course, for nuclear weapons. Turkey and Egypt are likely to be very close behind as a result of the arms race that Obama has just ticked off. This is amazing to me. I think he did this so he can win another Nobel Prize just in time for the collapse of Obamacare before the midterm elections. Now, liberals are saying this is Nixon going to China and we shouldn't be alarmed. A liberal in good standing named Michael Hirsch, who used to work for Newsweek and now writes for the National Journal, said, this is a good thing. It's a very good thing, and it alters the strategic landscape that has not been seen since Nixon blindsided the Soviets by making friends with Communist China at the height of the Cold War. He writes, what is most striking about Saturday's agreement is that the Obama administration appears to be declaring partial independence from the policy of Israel and Saudi Arabia, whose hardline stances toward Iran have seriously constrained U.S. action, especially over the last decade. You know, that's an interesting statement. Why would Obama suddenly stab Saudi Arabia in the back? How did that happen? Let's put Israel aside again. I know many of you are devout anti-Semites, particularly anti-Jewish, so you're blinded by your hatred to the extent that you think this is a good thing. But why would he suddenly peak Saudi Arabia like this when we're dependent on their oil? The Saudis have oil leverage. Learn the Israelis, you know, have powerful friends on Capitol Hill. That's a given. But the Saudis have great oil leverage. So why would he go out of his way to offend the Saudis? Why? Tell me why. The freeze deal that he's talking about is so vague that everyone knows that they're not. Do you think they're going to have daily inspections there in Iran? I went down the list for you before, showing you why this is worse than Munich. But I haven't shown you the seven loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran that were just signed by Kerry and Obama and the world powers. And by the way, this was done with the six world powers. Let's be clear. Obama unified with Russia, China, the United Kingdom, France, and Germany, and secretly signed the deal before dawn on Sunday, November 24th, at the end of four days of marathon talks by John Ketchup Kerry. But they didn't address the most questionable aspects of Iran's nuclear program. That is the clandestine military dimensions of this program. And I can give you all of the loopholes. These were spelled out by a website called Debka over the weekend. And one is Parchin, the long-suspected facility, which is out of UN oversight. Obama and Kerry boasted after the signing that daily inspections will take place at Fordo and Natanz. However, cameras are already fixed at both of those facilities without an agreement, whereas Tehran's consistent denial of access to Parchin is not addressed. So they have a secret facility where they can be developing nuclear weapons. There are two secret nuclear locations that are not going to be inspected. Three dirty bombs. They don't need a full nuclear bomb. Four rollback, five enrichment, six centrifuges, seven a great leap to breakout. This is what Obama just did. In cahoots with Russia, China, the United Kingdom, France, and Germany. Why would they stab Saudi Arabia and Israel in the back is the question.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On our side, the United States and our friends and allies have agreed to provide Iran with modest relief while continuing to apply our toughest sanctions. We will refrain from imposing new sanctions, and we will allow the Iranian government access to a portion of the revenue that they have been denied through sanctions.
Revenue. Now, no one's talking about revenue, the many billions of dollars that Iran will be accessing of their funds in U.S. banks. It's interesting to me that the HBO series on Homeland shows one of the greatest crimes that anyone can do in terms of foreign policy is, in fact, transfer funds to Iran that are frozen. So now we have life imitating art. Life imitating art in the form of not Brody doing this covertly, but Obama and Kerry doing it overtly. And without missing a beat, he flies to San Francisco tonight, my hometown, and goes and appeases the millions of people here illegally and tells them he's going to march with them. He did this tonight, not content with stabbing Israel and Saudi Arabia in the back. Listen to clip six now, which is fresh from this evening.
So for those of you who are committed to getting this done, I am going to march with you and fight with you every step of the way to make sure that we are welcoming every striving, hardworking immigrant who sees America the same way we do, as a country where no matter who you are or where you, what you look like or where you come from, you can make it if you try.
Again, the race war. Again, the big lie. Again, the great savior. Marching now with the aliens. Marching now against the American people. Listen to clip seven. This is again from tonight, from your president. After smashing the Middle East in pieces, he wants to break our borders forever in clip seven.
I'm ready to work with you, but it is going to require work. It is not simply a matter of us just saying we're going to violate the law. That's not our tradition. But the great thing about this country is we have this wonderful process of democracy, and sometimes it is messy, and sometimes it is hard. But ultimately, justice and truth win out.
Really, justice and truth win out. That's storybook. If you believe in Santa Claus, you can believe in that. 855-407-282. You're listening to the Savage Nation. As I say, we're moving into Thanksgiving, and many of you are already somewhere else. I have a friend. Actually, my attorney, Dan Horowitz, is in New Orleans. I shouldn't say that, but he called me excited. He said he was in a taxi in New Orleans, and he asked the cab driver, do you know Michael Savage? And the man stopped the cab and turned around. He said, my son is in the U.S. Marines, and we love Michael Savage. And he started to, he said his eyes welled up with tears, not my lawyer, but the cab driver. So believe me, there are people who listen to the show across America. They know what's going on is a disaster for the future of this country, not just with this Middle Eastern thing. The purging of the generals and the military is catastrophic. Catastrophic. Incidentally, I have a new feature of the show, which we just initiated tonight, which is some of my better sound pieces are being put up on YouTube by one of my assistants. I haven't reviewed them yet. But we posted tonight the one on the death of the Navy SEALs in the helicopter from last week. We asked who put them on that helicopter. That's now on YouTube. And tonight's opening monologue, which is entitled Obama Throws Israel to Islamist Wolves, is going up on YouTube for those of you who want to download it and send it to friends. We'll see where that leads, something new. We're trying to get an audience that's larger than this audience because come January, I was told you can put three zeros on the end of my audience. Whatever it may be, it'll be 1,000 times bigger. So that's a monstrous sea change coming. I'll have to do the same show, by the way. Same pace, same rhythm, just one man with some great guys who work for me. But the fact is that more than my audience of today will be listening tomorrow. And we're moving into the election year. Next November, as you well know, I don't know what words to use. It's either we win that or we're finished. I got to talk about that one night. I'm not going to do it now. If we listen to the fools who say don't vote for Republicans, what do you think you're going to get? Are you people that stupid? There aren't enough decent Republicans for you to vote for Republicans. Are you that stupid? When you have men like Mike Rogers who are standing up to this disastrous situation? Of course you have to vote for Republicans. The worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. Put that on YouTube. The worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. Because the best Democrat today, I have no sense of their loyalty to this country. None whatsoever. And everything is in play for next November. Everything is in play. If we lose Congress, we lose the world. If we win the Senate, we win the world. It's that simple. We must play knockout against the illegitimate. We must play knockout against the illegitimate. We must knock out all of these deceivers and all of these haters of this nation. They must be defeated at the polls. It's our last chance. Well, that's a show topic for another time. I am confident that we will build to that victory. You must not let the purists who are so stupid as to say, I'd rather lose an election than put in rhinos. Do you understand how idiotic that is? That's why we have Obama? Do you know what just happened in New York? You elected the equivalent of a Sandinista in de Blasio. It was the lowest voter turnout in New York City history. Why? Because the Republicans ran a schmuck who stood for nothing and no one cared about him, number one. And the grifters were promised a free lunch by the demagogue de Blasio, so they came out in droves. The lowest voter turnout in history in New York City elections. Back in the 50s, the voter turnout was near 90%. Do you know that? Americans voted then. They knew there was a clear choice, and they were proud to vote. I remember being a Boy Scout. One of the first things I had to do when I was 11 was walk around with a get-out-the-vote card that I was going to put on door handles in every house in Queens where I lived. And I worked. I got lost in what I was doing. I guess I was a zealot even then. I did it till 11:30 at night. My parents called the police. They didn't know where I was. I lost track of time. I knew I was doing something patriotic. I went around like a good little boy with my heart beating and my feet sweating, putting a get-out-the-vote card on every door. And most people voted. They were good Americans. They knew what was at stake. Look what's happened to the country now. So we'll get to the voting at another time, you know. And this time, everything is at stake. As I say, if the Republicans win the Senate, we can win the world. If the Republicans lose the House, we lose the world. It's all over. There's nothing left. So let's go back to the Israel, Saudi Arabia. There's an element to this which I don't understand. He stabbed Israel in the back. That's a given. We know why. That's a given. He was signaling this for a long time. This administration is filled with Jew haters. My opinion, one man's opinion. They hate Israel. They detest Jews. I know you don't but want to believe that. Okay, it's how I see it. There's an anti-Semitism that runs throughout this entire administration. I know what the left, even if they're of Jewish descent, they're anti-Israel and they hate their own religion, they hate their own people. I know how the communist left views their own heritage. I know it so well, I don't even have to bother explaining it to you. I understand it very well. In fact, I'll tell you a spiritual story about it. And that just came to mind because I have to establish what I just said to you so you understand it. There's a very famous story of an extremely Orthodox rabbi going back several generations in Russia. This is right after the Communist Revolution, 1918, 1919. The revolution, of course, was in 17. And they arrested all of the chief religious figures in the Soviet Union, ex-Russia. They arrested priests. And they arrested a Jewish leader. They put him in a prison. And they said to him, the communists came to him and they said, the young communist radicals came to him and they said, if you'll go out on your balcony and tell your listeners that God doesn't exist and they should follow the state, we'll free you from the prison. The old man said, I can't do that because it's not true and it's not what I believe in. So they put him in a lower cell and a worse cell. They came to him again and they said, if you tell your followers on a balcony, just got to go home and say, trust in this government. This government is good. We'll take you out of prison. The rabbi wouldn't do it. He was very stubborn, you see. He was stiff-necked. He was very stubborn. They then put him into a lower cell in the basement. This is 100% true. You ask people, I'll even give you the name at the end of the story. Finally, he wouldn't yield, and they put him in a basement where water was up to his chest, and there were rats. He was in a cell with water up to his chest, this old man, with rats. And they sent a revolutionary communist down to him, and they gave him one last chance. And he said to him, Rabbi, look, you're going to die down here if you don't go out on your balcony and tell the people to believe in this in the new government, the new communist government. The rabbi looked at the young man, and he thought he recognized him. And he knew that the communist that he was talking to was of Jewish heritage. And he said to this young man, if you believe in many gods and one world, act accordingly. But if you believe in one God and many worlds, act accordingly. And like by a miracle, he's released from the jail the very next day. This is 1,000% true. You ask any Orthodox Jew who's intellectually advanced and knows the story, they will tell you who that rabbi was. Because by a miracle, that rabbi was released from prison, and he came to America and established an entire religion, a religious group around him. That's 1,000% true. We have no such leaders in the Jewish community anymore. They're gone. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
At the end of the last segment, I was telling you about a true story about a rabbi who was imprisoned by the Soviets and would not crack and worship the state. His name was Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson. Now, what does that mean to the average Jew or American? Very little, unless they're of the Hasidic, let's say, sect, if you want to put that. And, you know, there's a saying that when things get tough and you're greatly outnumbered by your enemies and you feel you can't win, that's the time to fight like hell. No, that's not when you give up and you roll over. When you think you can't win, the U.S. Marines know this. They teach it to their men. The Rangers know it. The U.S. Army teaches it to its men. That's what the U.S. military's entire code was built upon. When the enemy outnumbers you 10 to 1, that's not the time to throw down your weapons. It's the time to fight like hell, and you just might win. Well, this little rabbi battled the Bolsheviks, who took over Russia, the communists, in other words, like our takeover right now by the communists. And the communists then created a special Jewish affairs section run by Jews, which instigated anti-religious activities meant to strip Orthodox Jews of their religious way of life. And so, as a Rebbe of a Russia-based Jewish movement, Schneerson was outspoken against the atheistic communist regime and its goal of forcibly eradicating religion throughout the land. And what did he do? He didn't appease them like today's professional Jewish organizations are appeasing the Marxist-Leninists, atheists. Instead, he told his followers to set up religious schools, going against the dictates of the Marxist-Leninist dictatorship of the proletariat. And that's what he did. And then he was forced by the Russian secret police to leave Rostov due to the slander put out by him. He wasn't killed. And what he'd do, he fought even harder to set up Jewish schools. He worked his heart out. He established Jewish schools all over Russia. And he kept the Chabad yeshiva system alive while he was under surveillance by agents of the NKVD, the equivalent of our NSA. While he was under continual surveillance by agents of the NKVD, he didn't scream and die in Oy Vey. He fought them. He built more Jewish schools. Unlike you, who's afraid of the NSA and afraid that Obama's coming to get you. And he was arrested again and put into the Spolano prison in Leningrad. He was accused of counter-revolutionary activities and sentenced to death. You don't know any of this. But he didn't die. There was a lot of political pressure to save him. And the story is, it keeps going on and on and on. He came to America with only two men. And he was told, be quiet here, don't start a religious group here like that. It's not Europe, it's America. America is different. Don't even try. And Schneerson wrote, out of my eyes came boiling tears. The next day he started the first yeshiva in America called the Lubavitch Yeshiva, saying America is no different. In 1949 he became a U.S. citizen with his son-in-law, Menachem Mendel. So I don't have to tell you more about this group. They're not perfect. They're not saints. They're people like everybody else. But amongst this religious group, there are holy men who keep the entire group going. Real holy men. Real believers. And it's very important for you to understand this story for many reasons. Look at what he faced when the communists of his time tried to suppress him. Arrested, imprisoned, slandered, surveillance by agents of the NKVD. And instead of saying, I'll cooperate with you, he said, I'm going to create more religious organizations. Now that takes us to the Iran deal, Obama-Kerry. There was a Christian pastor there, arrested by the Iranian government. The secret police arrested him for giving out Bibles in Iran. That's what a wonderful country they are. You hear this, giving out a Bible. Instead of saying release this man, Obama and Kerry ignored this man. So it's worse than it was when the Soviets took over Russia right now under this administration. Spinelessness would be one word, but it would be inaccurate. This is well beyond spinelessness. Why? Because these are atheists who are glad that Christianity is suppressed in Iran. These are Leninists who are happy that Christianity is being suppressed around the world, especially the Islamist world. It's far worse than it was when the Soviets took over Russia right now. Because you have been infiltrated without even understanding what's going on. At least there they said that they're Marxists and Leninists. Here they say that they're Americans. Here they say they love America. Here they tell you they're out for the interests of the American people. Here they tell you peace is at hand. Here they tell you this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to America. And you buy it, hook, line, and sinker. So there's Michael Savage's pocket history of the world for the evening. I've given you my sermon, not on the mount. We've given you my sermon for the evening. Things come out of me at times I don't even know where they come from. I forget certain stories, and yet when I'm in the midst of telling you a piece of news, sometimes I remember a connection to either a historic event or a religious figure or some other figure, and it makes sense. And I hope you understood what I was just saying to you. The secret deal with Iran that was just conducted without the knowledge of Congress is about the worst disaster in American foreign policy in your entire lifetime. It will be remembered in history as the greatest appeasement in the history of this country. But because the villains in the media don't even know what went on, let alone would they tell you. The villains don't tell you, so you don't know what happened. I'm very much sort of like one of those voices from the basement. No, I tell you the truth. I'm not in a basement with water up to my neck, comma, yet, period, let's hope not. But I am isolated, I'm alienated, I'm ostracized. I'm an outsider, not an insider. You never see me. You never see me on Fox, do you? They have Schmendrick talk shows that no one listens to. Why? Because they're afraid of me. They're offended by my insightfulness. It makes them look meager by comparison. That's sad because they're my allies in many ways. They don't understand it. We're all on the same side. But that's not the issue. The issue is I told you something tonight that should give you courage, and I'll say it to you again. When you are surrounded by your enemy and they outnumber you 5 or 10 to 1, that's not the time for you to capitulate and cry. That's the time for you to fight harder than you've ever fought in your life. Ask any U.S. Marine. Ask any U.S. combat troop. Ask the boys who were serving in Afghanistan, who served in Iraq. Ask them what they faced, surrounded by the enemy. Ask them if they would have thrown their guns down and run, what would have happened. They stood there and fought. And you, my friends, are outnumbered. You're surrounded by psychotic Leninists, liberals, Marxists, wherever you may live. This is the time not to yield to them, but to fight with everything in you. Stand up to them, because you're right and they're wrong.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to hour number 3, The Savage Nation, for Monday, November 25th, 2013. Go to michaelsavage.com for all the news of The Savage Nation. Top story, Hezbollah says nuclear deal is a victory for Iran. Thank you, Barack Obama, for throwing Israel to the Islamic wolves. Meanwhile, hope in Obama has changed. Only those who benefit directly from his handouts or his contracts still believe in him. Meanwhile, Islam, they're dismantling mosques. Huh, how primitive. Israel thrown to Islamic wolves by Kerry and Obama. Now, this you're not going to believe, but Mike Rogers, who's one of the top people, Well, you know who he is? Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He said he was left in the dark on the Iran deal. He was not told about it by John Kerry. We are living in South America. Here's one for you if this doesn't appeal to you. Top U.S. hospital laying off staff due to Obamacare. In a final lecture, a progressive professor told white males to commit suicide. What? Yes, and he's white. That's right. Far-left professor Noel Ignatiev ended his teaching career by telling white males to kill themselves. It is nothing new for the hate-filled professor. In a June interview, Ignatiev spoke about the elimination of the white race. I'm not making this up. Would you like to hear it? We're going to play it on the Savage Nation. Okay, well, it's getting crazier by the day. The final news stories that we're going to report on tonight can be found on michaelsavage.com. And here's some other stories from the Drudge Report. Obama, after stabbing Israel in the back, flew to San Francisco to demand that illegal aliens be granted amnesty. And then, if that isn't enough, he's flying to Hollywood to rake in money, flying in Air Force One at your expense. At your expense. Can you believe this? It's getting worse by the second. Saudi Arabia says it will strike Iran on its own if it needs to. Would you believe you'd be living in a time when Israel and Saudi Arabia would become allies? Well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Obama has made both of them allies. It's unbelievable what is happening and how stupid people are. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. And if you want to make it a little lighter, we can do that as well on the show tonight. I know many of you are already traveling. You're in different states and different locations, and yet you've snuck out of the family house and you found the Savage Nation either on an iPhone or on a local station. Are you listening to the Savage Nation on a different radio station than your normal home station? Let us know what it is. 855-407-282 is the phone number. The Iran deal. Some liberals are saying this is the equivalent of Nixon going to China, that it's a wonderful, wonderful give peace a chance moment. Scholars who are pro-Islamist at the London School of Economics, a hotbed of anti-Americanism, said, finally, the dog wags the tail. Tough luck for Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, says Fawaz Gurgis, a scholar at LSU and author of the recent book on the Middle East. And so I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, at Savage Nation, again, how do you feel about giving Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons? Because that's what your president just did without notifying Congress. And by the way, the schism that has occurred even within the Democrat Party is actually unprecedented in the history of this regime. That's right. The Democrat Party has fractured over this. Some very prominent liberal Democrats are saying, what? How could you do this? Who are they? Charles Schumer, a lockstep liberal. Representative Engel, a lockstep liberal. Even Harry Reid was caught dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say today. He went all over the map. And even Harry Reid said, more sanctions, not less sanctions against Iran may be needed. This has fractured the bloc that has always rallied around the fundraiser-in-chief. How do you feel about your fundraiser-in-chief using Air Force One to fly to San Francisco and Los Angeles today to raise money on your pocket? How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? Are you traveling and listening to the Savage Nation on a different radio station? My headline was succinct when I saw it Saturday night. I was shocked, frankly, by the audacity and the insult to our Constitution that had occurred. And I made it short and sweet. And I said this. My headline on MichaelSavage.com was quite succinct, and it went like this. Obama Kerry throw Israel to Islamic wolves. I believe I was correct. I believe I was correct. Today it came out that Mike Rogers, ever hear of him? No, he's not a baseball player. No, he's not a coach. No, he doesn't work for Steven Spielberg. Mike Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He's supposed to know these things. He's supposed to know what the president and the secretary of state are doing behind his back. He said today that he was not notified of it. He was not told about the talks with Iranians leading up to the nuclear deal that will give Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? Now, let's look at this in context. Let's look at the big picture. He threw an ally overboard. Who will be next? You have to ask yourself, who will be next? He threw an ally overboard. He stabbed Israel in the back. I predicted this. I will again refer to the Bible of the Savage Nation, Trickle-Down Tyranny, where I wrote on the cover of the book, he treats friends like enemies and enemies like friends. He acts like a monster to the American people and to Congress. He acts like a Caesar. He acts like a Caesar to the American people and to Congress, while to the worst enemies that America has seen since World War II, he goes softly into the night and goes limply into the night and gives them everything they want. It's a very dangerous schizophrenic situation that we find ourselves in. And frankly, you should be as agitated as I am. But I'm asking you if you're angry. A lot of reasons to be angry. I mean, I could provoke you into more anger than you've already, you know, feeling like St. Louis teen admits he participated in 300 knockout game attacks. It's a game, knocking white people down, almost killing them. And they're only teens. There have been several knockout game attacks in St. Louis by black youths since Huang Yuan was murdered in 2011. One local teen told St. Louis Circuit Attorney Jennifer Joyce that he participated in over 300 knockout game attacks in St. Louis. Teenager. I love when you hear teen from the liberals. I mean, you look at the Middle East, the teens are carrying AK-47s and shooting RPGs. Teens. What does a teen mean if you're 6 foot tall or 200 pounds and strong as a grown man? What do you mean teen? They're soldiers in the Middle East. What do you mean teen? What does the age mean? What does it mean? How about the 14-year-old teen who raped and slashed the teacher's throat in Massachusetts? Am I supposed to have sympathy for him because he was an underprivileged minority? Are you crazy? How much can you take of this garbage? How much brainwashing can you take till you regurgitate it and say enough is enough? Shut up. Just shut up. How much can you take of this is what people are saying. Let's go back in time. Remember the Duke team that was falsely accused by that rat? And I was the only one in the media. I was the only one in the media saying Crystal Magnum was a stripper, hooker from hell, and a liar. You remember? I defended the Duke lacrosse team. From day one, I knew she was lying. People call me every name under the sun. Remember Crystal Magnum, who destroyed the reputation of the Duke lacrosse team? Do you remember that? She said they raped her. They hired her as a hooker. Then she came out saying they raped me in the bathroom. She destroyed them. And it took all of the king's horses and all the king's men to prove her to be what she is. Well, a jury found that doll, Crystal Magnum, guilty of second-degree murder for stabbing and killing her boyfriend, Reginald Day, in 2011. You hear this? This is the doll that the media jumped to defend because she was a minority and the Duke lacrosse players were whites. This is the world we're living in. There's a war against white, heterosexual Christian men. Shall I repeat it in case you missed it? There is a war on against white, heterosexual Christian males. And it starts with the boys. They're destroying our boys in this country. And you don't hear anyone saying it, do you? You're shocked to listen to me say it because it's such a revelation because it's so true. And you don't hear it, so you figure, I don't even know if I should listen to this. I know it's true. I know what Michael Savage just said is 100% true. I see how they treat our boys in school. I could see how they're passed over through affirmative action. If they get a straight A average, they'll pick a minority with a B average and give that minority passage into the best colleges or the once best colleges in America that have turned into institutions of lower learning. They'll pass them over for scholarships. They'll pass them over for jobs. And then they'll say that they're racist and they deserve it. You know it. Of course, the liberal mother will say, well, that's okay. It's okay if my son becomes a gardener because of the past injustices. Well, it was never okay for me because, you see, I'm an immigrant's son. I don't have such white guilt. No, I don't have such white guilt. I never have and I never will. And I didn't pass it on to my children either. It's a disease. It's a mental disorder to have such guilt. I don't happen to believe in guilt. You can carry it for me if you wish. If you want to be a better person and go directly to heaven, carry my burden for me. You can be guilty for me. See, my grandfather was an immigrant who worked his heart out and died at 47. He didn't hold any slaves. He took nothing from no one. So I have no guilt. My life was almost stolen from me by the social engineers, stolen from me by the social engineers who try to prevent me from my calling. They didn't want me to be a professor. No matter, I got a straight A average, great degree, great university, 6 published books, many published papers, and they said white males need not apply. Well, I tried for years to get what I wanted, and it only made me stronger. It made me harder, and it made me meaner, I must tell you. And guess what? I came out of that cauldron better than I went in. I was all the softness was taken out of me. I was put into a cauldron, and I was cauterized into what I am. And I came back as a radio talk show host. They did me a favor. All of the liberals who kept me from my calling, from my profession, did me a favor. And because of their blessing, I'm here before you tonight on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282. You know, history is repeating itself. Suddenly it's 1939, 1940. You've got the very similar dynamics, but it's far worse than the Munich Agreement. Far worse. But there are no Jewish voices. The ADL, so bold when it comes to Americans. The Anti-Defamation League, just so bold when it comes to Americans who are offensive, not to be heard. So far as I know, I could be mistaken. Rabbi Marvin Heyer, who I sent out an appeal to when I was banned in Britain, and didn't even answer my email. Very bold man. Oh, yeah. Not a word from him so far as I know. Why? Democrats. Democrats. It's that simple. Obama good, can't do wrong. Nothing. And by the way, Obama is such a radical psycho that one day after another, he knocks America in the teeth and he crawls on his hands and knees before the mullahs. Just the other day, last week, do you remember what he did? He annihilated a 230-year-old tradition. He eliminated a tradition that had been with the Senate for over 200 years in order to make certain that he could crush anyone who might have an opposing opinion. Then he does a deal behind the backs of the American people, of Congress themselves, and stabs Israel in the back. Now today he flies to the sick San Francisco community that wants amnesty for the illegal aliens, and they cheer him. And I listen to them saying, we all want to be here. No matter how we came here, we should be granted amnesty. One day after the other, the man will not stop with his madness. This is a man who is out of control, by the way. You can say, why don't they impeach him? Who? John Boehner? What did he have to say about Israel? Nothing. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282. Even Lindsey Graham, who I absolutely don't respect, who I think is a despicable senator, has said the nuclear deal leaves Iran on the verge of making weapons. I wonder who talked to him. I wonder who talked to him. The Saudis are now an ally of Israel. Isn't that bizarre? Did you believe you'd wake up one day and in your lifetime Saudi Arabia would be doing a deal with Israel to protect themselves from an Iran nuclear weapon? Would you believe that? How did that happen? Well, there's an old saying in the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I guess that the Saudis realize that Israel is now their best friend to defend themselves from an Islamist nuclear bomb. You see, there are things about this deal that you may not be aware of. For example, one of the loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran in the deal signed over the weekend is the issue of the dirty bombs. I don't know if you heard about that. Iran does not need a full-scale nuclear bomb or missile warhead to attack Israel or any other nation. For decades, Tehran has been working on perfecting hundreds of dirty bombs as part of its nuclear program by adding plutonium or enriched uranium to conventional bombs. These weapons are easy to make, they're easy to use, given to Hezbollah or other Shiite terrorist organizations in Syria or Iraq, for instance. They could be used to strike Israel or Saudi Arabia without leaving so much as a trail to Tehran. This peril was ignored by the 6 powers in Geneva, and the running back who brought it home was John Kerry. There are many other elements of this disaster that Obama and Kerry have brought about that are worth talking about. This is well beyond the Munich Agreement. Some people are speaking out, and they're writing such things, such as, quote, in a few months when Iran announces they have successfully tested a weapon and are sticking it atop some missiles that can reach anywhere in the Middle East, the Balkans, Eastern Europe, and India, Obama will declare his job mission accomplished. Someone wrote this, I guess no war for the neocons. They must be extremely disappointed and powerless by what happened in Geneva. Hopefully the United States eliminates the neocons forever. Those are the hardcore anti-Semites in the media who believe Israel is the devil and that Israel should be eliminated from the globe. They are, in essence, on the far right. In that view, they are Islamists and leftists, even though they think they're rightists. Then someone wrote, most Americans still remember the WMD lies and the disaster of the Iraq War. Sorry, Iran will be left alone. It's one of the few stable countries in the Middle East, and no war will destroy that situation. They're on the side of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. So, where do you stand on this? I mean, you're one of the people. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this?
Savage.
And Scott Walker joins us 5 to 9 a.m. Join me, Brian Sussman.
You heard about
KSFO.
Throwing Israel to the Islamic wolves. In other words, Kerry and Obama doing a secret deal with our worst enemy, the Islamists of Iran. It's that simple. Nuke deal. They're going to get nuclear weapons and wipe Israel off the planet, so they say. Joining us now on the Savage Nation to talk about this crazed turn of events under this demonic dictator is Lisa Benson, who's been studying this problem for quite some time. Lisa Benson, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
It is my great pleasure to be back, Michael. Thank you for having me.
We heard Israel's prime minister say that the Iranian nuclear agreement is not a historic event, but a historic mistake. What did the prime minister of Israel mean?
Netanyahu condemned the deal at a cabinet meeting and said the world has become a more dangerous place. Specifically, he said, what was achieved last night in Geneva is not the historic agreement, it was the historic mistake. End quote. He went on to say, today the world has become a much more dangerous place because the most dangerous regime in the world has took a significant step towards obtaining the world's most dangerous weapon. He also said, Michael, and this is very important, Israel is not committed by this agreement. He said the regime in Iran is committed to destroying Israel, but Israel has the right and obligation to defend itself from any threat and will not allow Iran to develop a military nuclear capability. Netanyahu said publicly that the international community had actually agreed for the first time to uranium enrichment in Iran while ignoring Security Council resolutions that they themselves have promoted.
To what degree does this agreement allow Iran to keep its nuclear enrichment program?
Well, Iran can keep their enrichment up to 5%. We already know that is low image uranium, and they have, but it is also, we also know that they've already exceeded medical isotope usage up to 20%. 90% is needed to make a bomb. However, it is very important to note that the information that we have obtained so far on the enrichment capabilities of Iran has not come from Iran. It has come from leakages from those within Iran who let the West know what is happening in Iran. Iran has never been honest about their enrichment capabilities. Now, it is the IAEA, the Atomic Energy Association, that will monitor the proliferation of their nuclear capabilities. However, here's something that they did not tell us on the news. There are two ways to make a bomb. One is with uranium. The other is with plutonium. The plutonium, which is the heavy water reactor in a place called Arak, A-R-A-K. Now, we hear people talk about the heavy water reactor in Iraq. Unbelievably, this agreement that came out of Geneva doesn't address the heavy water reactor at all. There are no checks and balances in this agreement on Iraq. Once this heavy water reactor goes online, and it is believed by those who are letting us know from the inside that it is almost ready to go, there is nothing Israel or anybody else can do. You can't bomb it. You can't take it out. Because if you do, it creates an environmental hazard in the entire region of the Middle East.
How much monetary gain is there for Iran as a result of the Kerry Obama secret deal?
Michael, they got the enchilada. They got the full enchilada, and that's why the Iranians are dancing in the streets today. All you need to do is pick up the news sources out of the Middle East of what is going on in Tehran today. They're very happy. They are dancing in the streets. Their sanctions have been, their money has been released from global sources. I'm going to tell you exactly how much money this is. Note that the people in Israel are not smiling today. It's a dark day for Israel and for most of the West and for the Saudis, by the way. $6 to $7 billion of relief from gold trading, petrochemicals, and auto trades, and up to $4.5 billion of hard currency from oil sales, estimated at over $25 billion. They got everything. They got everything that they wanted, including the ability to sell their oil to China, which desperately needs the oil. So they got it all. They got the enchilada.
Lisa, don't you think this agreement will lead to a nuclear arms race in the Middle East?
Absolutely. Last weekend, Qatar and Kuwait met in Saudi Arabia with the royal family. What I believe and what I see is now an arms race between Sunni and Shiites. And that is significant because we have been seeing tribally they have been fighting for thousands of years. But now we've just raised the stakes. We hear from sources that Saudi Arabia is currently in negotiations with Pakistan to obtain nuclear capability. So there you go. The Shiites are the Iranians, Kuwait, Qatar, and the Sunni Saudis are now going to be working with the Pakistanis to get nuclear. So now the two tribal factions of the Islamic world are now fighting, potentially fighting, with nuclear capability. What was President Obama and John Kerry thinking? What was the United Kingdom thinking, Germany and France? It is astounding. Look at today's CNN report that majority of Americans don't trust this president, yet this president just negotiated a nuclear arms agreement with the most dangerous regime in the world. It makes no sense to the rational mind.
Okay, so what do you think Israel's going to do? They're backed into a corner.
That is the million-dollar question, and I have been asking a lot of people that. We were up all Saturday night. Many of the analysts were all communicating with each other. It's important for your listeners to know that I am one analyst in a field of many. We stay in contact with each other. We have been asking each other this question since Saturday night, U.S. time. It is the great unknown. I leave for Israel on Thanksgiving Day. I will be on the ground. I will be having video streaming on my website. I will be asking that question. I believe that they better not wait one more minute, and they better do something quickly, because as soon as that plutonium reactor, the heavy water reactor, goes online, there is nothing they can do. Also, yesterday I had intelligence information from an intelligence source that there might be a third site that nobody in the mainstream media is talking about. These things are coming to us from inside Iran by people within Iran who want a free Iran. Persians who are nationalistic, who want a free Iran. They want to be free of this Ayatollah. They want to be free. The fact that the President of the United States is either blindly naive or really malicious and maniacal towards Israel is the other million-dollar question. Those of us who have been watching this now believe that he is not naive. He is getting the same intelligence information. He's getting more than we know. And all of it right now looks maniacal. It looks maniacal, as if he himself is presenting a bad deal and is doing so because he is not in favor of Israel. I hate to say this. I don't like to say it. I do not like to say that the president, my president of my country, is doing this to the state of Israel, who has been the best ally for this United States of America. Michael, it is very important for your listeners to know that the information that I convey is accurate, measured, and intelligent information that I obtained from sources that I have had with 12 years in the sector, particularly Claire Lopez, former CIA, retired. Therefore, you can be sure that this information is accurate.
Okay. Does this really affect the U.S.? How? Are we really at risk from this?
Yes. Yesterday on my program, three analysts said that we are at risk. The East Coast of the United States is particularly at risk because there is no anti-ballistic missile system in place on the East Coast. Well, we're at risk in two ways, and this is significant. First of all, our United States Congress has not been able to foster the SHIELD Act in any way. Congressman Trent Franks has had that bill out there for a couple of years. Our electric grid is unprotected. It is outrageous. It is outrageous. It would take one nuclear warhead to go up into the sky and to knock out our entire electric grid. Within 3 months, 60% of the American people would be dead. That doesn't seem to faze the members of Congress, who can't make an agreement on anything. Nor can we get the attention of the mainstream media, and for some reason, most of America thinks this is some right-wing conspiracy theory. It is not. It is based on science. There's plenty of information out there on it. And Congressman Trent Franks needs our help. He cannot get the co-signers for this bill. That's number one. Okay, the East Coast of the United States does not have an anti-ballistic system, and it is believed that if Iran can marriage the nuclear weapon-grade uranium or plutonium with the warhead, they can reach the East Coast of the United States before 2015, before the next election. Now, what we have known for 12 years is the alliance between Iran and North Korea. So we have two desperate, very totalitarian regimes that are working together to try to make this happen. We know that North Korea has been testing ballistic missiles and have the capability of almost reaching Hawaii. So we're in a race. The clock is ticking. And what frustrates me as a broadcaster and as an analyst is that I could be talking on the top of my lungs with my 50-kilowatt, you know, bullhorn, and I am seen by many as being a crazy. Because there's only a handful of Americans who are listening to this. And we just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. I am old enough to remember that when I was 11 years old, I was ducking under a desk in elementary school when that President of the United States got up and said, America is in a perilous time. We listened and we prepared. Right now, few are listening, nobody is preparing. And I fear that until America sees a mushroom cloud over their head, will they realize that those of us who are working on this 24/7 are absolutely on target. So I applaud you, Michael Savage, for having me on today, because the listeners must listen. They must talk to their elected officials in Congress. They must demand the SHIELD Act. They must demand that the checks and balances put in place. And this six-month interim agreement is a joke and puts Israel right in peril.
Lisa, where can we read more of your work?
We have a website, www.lisabensonradioshow.com. I travel the country to speak. I am grateful for this opportunity, Mr. Savage. You are a hero to many for spreading the truth, and I ask that everybody share the truth and join our effort to compound the activism and spread the truth about this issue, and never forget about Benghazi, by the way.
Lisa Benson, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
It is my great pleasure. God bless you, Michael, and God bless America.
I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Since I took office, I've made clear my determination to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Liar.
As I've said many times,
you
my
liar.
Strong preference is to resolve this issue peacefully.
You
and
liar.
We've extended the hand of diplomacy. Today, that diplomacy opened up a new path toward a world that is more secure. A future in which we can verify that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful and that it cannot build a nuclear weapon. While today's announcement is just a first step, it achieves a great deal. For the first time in nearly a decade, we have halted the progress of the Iranian nuclear program. Key parts of the program will be rolled back.
Top to bottom, liar. He may as well be working for the enemy. And I'm not alone on this. If I were alone on this, you could dismiss me as a fool. But I'm not the only one saying it. His own cohorts in the liberal Democrat cabal are saying, are you crazy? Number two, he did this without the knowledge of Congress. We're living in a dictatorship. How could you support a man like this? By the way, this is Friday is a Black Friday. We're going to Thanksgiving. I hear that Kerry has a Black Friday sale coming up. Build one nuke, get two dirty bombs free. And I hear that most places are having a half-off sale while Obama is offering a half-life sale. 855-400-7282. Okay, line five, Stephanie in St. Louis. Line five, you're on the Savage Nation on this disaster that Obama and Kerry have just conducted behind the backs of Congress.
Oh, my God, Dr. Savage, can you even believe it? I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm listening online, KSFO AM out of San Francisco, streaming on my internet.
It's a great station. It's a great station. It's my home station. And so how do you feel about this as a public opinion poll that's being done in the Savage Nation tonight? Do you feel good about the president going around Congress to make peace in our time?
No, as a matter of fact, I can't even imagine what our country's going to look like in another 3 years from now. I will even be surprised. I just can't even imagine what we're going to look like 3 years from now. Do you know how much damage can be done in 3 years?
Yes, I do, because when Bush had six more months left in his regime, I warned America he wasn't finished yet. I warned them in the June of his last year, and he then created the disaster which led to the implosion of all of our financial markets. Bush did that.
I believe that. And you know what else I'm coming to know about myself, too? Is 20 years ago, I was a bleeding heart liberal. Now I'm almost a conspiracy theorist.
Well, that's not unusual. When you're, you know, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. You've heard that, haven't you?
That's right. And recently I changed jobs, and my new coworker asked me about a week after we had the conversation about my political views, and which he shares, by the way. He said, Stephanie, I have to ask you, what was it that made you change your mind? I said, I grew up. I had children. I became a mother. I started working 45 or 50 hours a week. And when you put a little bit of skin in the game, you have to start thinking about things.
That's right. I drove through a poor section of a town near where I live, and I saw people in the streets today who were doing nothing. Doing nothing. I knew they were drug dealers. You could look at them and know they're peddling drugs. And I say to myself, how can this country go on? In my day, the cops could stop vagrants and ask them what they were doing in the neighborhood and either arrest them for vagrancy or tell them to move on and get away from there because they knew they were up to no good. And now the government actually supports the vagrants and tells the cops they're racist for doing their job.
It's just incredible.
Do you ever watch the television series called Homeland on HBO?
I have not.
Oh, well, I'll go into it one day. It's about a former Marine who was captured in Iraq, put into a prison cell by the Islamists, and turned into a double agent. And then he's sent back to America. The character's name is Brody, and he becomes a U.S. congressman because he was a former Marine and everyone loved him. Meanwhile, he's working for the Islamists. He's a double agent. Many people feel that there are many Brodies in the White House. Many people feel that the CIA and the FBI has been gutted and deballed by Obama to be turned into compliant appendages of the White House, which is not what they were ever intended to be. Many people fear that we are living in a dictatorship that's going to get far worse before it gets far better. Now, I realize this is heavy-duty stuff and that many of you want to go into the Thanksgiving holiday a little less tense. But when I saw this Saturday night, I got very agitated. This was no longer about Israel. This was not about the tail wagging the dog. This was about supplying the most terrorist nation on earth with the means to develop a nuclear weapon. Do you understand the difference? Let's put Israel out of the equation. Let's put Israel out of the equation. Many of you are such anti-Semites that you're blinded, and you say anything that hurts Israel is a good thing. But now let's look at it from the perspective of America, per se, and our national interest. You have a maniac who's screaming, when I get a gun, I'm going to buy a machine gun. And when I get it, I'm going to go to a school and shoot up children. Well, what do you do with that person? Do you give them a machine gun? No, you send in the world police and you arrest that person. Iran is that crazy man saying, when I get the machine gun, I'm going to kill the children in a schoolroom. Do you give him a machine gun? Do you say, let's help him get a machine gun? Or do you make certain he never gets the machine gun? Your president just said that crazy man can have a machine gun. That's my analogy, and I stick by it.
Savage.